This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1, where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts. It feels like Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami.
Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today, our producer, co-founder, on the bottom of me, Brian Goins.
Guys, I can't leave Gainesville. I went to Gainesville for my first finals game, really a first playoff game tonight.
Brian, I can't leave.
I can't leave. This is reverse jinx territory. I can't fucking leave.
Gotta go.
They're telling me I have to come back.
Yeah, that's it. This and Brian, Ethan left the bubble, and you are in Gainesville. That is the formula. To my left, we have our anime lover and professional Photoshopper, Brass Jazz.
What's up, everybody?
On the bottom left, you have producer extraordinaire, Alex Solana.
Let's go. Imagine counting out this team. Imagine.
Listen, we have to start in the place that is most obvious, and it's with what Jimmy Butler did today. And it's not, you know, in a game where LeBron James, arguably the greatest player who ever lived, is on the floor, and Anthony Davis, who everyone was coronating as finals MVP, as best teammate that LeBron has ever played with, as generational big man, comparing him to Will Chamberlain, comparing him to Shaq, comparing him to Tim Duncan, all that stuff, all that's going in, right? Last finals game, we have people on Twitter comparing Jimmy Butler to Paul fucking George, right? We have all this swirling around. We have this team down, not one, but two all-stars. Goran Dragic playing the best basketball that he's ever played in his career, and Bam Adebayo, not just their young star, but a transcendent generational talent that absolutely transformed this team on both ends of the floor. So let's take all that into perspective as they come into tonight. They had won going in. They had won three straight quarters. They had won or tied three straight quarters of basketball. You saw it coming along, but you can clearly tell in that game too, they were just never in that game, despite shooting 50, 40, 90 from the field, three-point line and free throw line, respectively. They out-free-throw the Lakers by like 20. It was just outrageous, and they were never in the game. And then we come into tonight. Jimmy Butler, off the gun, is what we've been asking for him all playoffs long. He's coming out being aggressive. He's scoring. He's passing. He's rebounding. He's doing everything you need your superstar to do. And what he did tonight, that 40-point triple-double, what he did tonight goes in the pantheon of Dwayne Wade's game three against Dallas in 2006, against all those LeBron James games, against the Spurs, that game six and that game seven. That goes into pantheon with that. That goes in with everything. All these all-time great finals performances. This team that was counted out, that I listened to all these national podcasts, and they're all arguing who's the final MVP is going to be, because they said this team has no fucking chance. They're dead in the water because they have their stars are out. They don't have enough. Duncan Robinson's not good. Jimmy Butler's not a superstar with a capital S. All this conversation is going around, and this guy goes, plays the best fucking game that anybody's had this season with the most fucking stakes that have happened. This guy played his best game ever in this moment, and I have culture in my veins. I'm snorting it. I'm just infested with it. Brass, I cannot process what they just did.
Can you spossess it?
I can't anything. The game plan that we talked about from the beginning has been solid. You clog the fucking paint and you make Marquise Morris, you make Alex Caruso, and you make Kyle Kuzma beat you. And Kyle Kuzma had a very good offensive game. Marquise Morris had a very good offensive game, shot the ball really well, and they still won. And we don't give Spo credit. Everyone was talking about Kendrick Perkins is talking about Frank Vogel outcoaching Eric Spoelstra, when Eric Spoelstra is just with a bunch of undrafted dudes, rookies, and Jimmy Butler and Kelly Olynyk. That's what it was. And Myers Leonard.
The commentators were like literally pulling out the brooms tonight.
Jalen Rose was on the broadcast. It's like, oh, the Heat are up going into half. I don't know. It doesn't look good for them. I think we should bring out the brooms.
disgusting. It's disgusting.
That was a conversation. Brass, it's been the conversation all fucking week. All fucking week.
And because last game was like a nearly perfect offensive game from this team.
And I get it.
Yes. And we lost by 10. Yeah. Because I mean, we were getting fucking annihilated on the boards. But like this game, Jimmy was just, he was out of, he's fucking out of his mind, man. He was unbelievable. He had jumpers with a capital J tonight. It was wet as fuck.
The stuff off the glass was just insane.
Defensively tonight, like,
What's a fucking tornado?
It was magical. It was magical. I mean, they didn't light up for a second this game. It's unbelievable. So there's a lot of promise with this team, man. Like, we have enough.
No, we don't. We need more reinforcements. This is great.
We need reinforcements. The cavalry needs to come. This was for Gogi. This was for Gogi.
I don't think Dragic is going to come back. I personally would feel shocked if Bam didn't come back, because yeah. I feel like this wants to play. He wants to play. I understand why Spo hasn't let him play yet, because yeah. you don't want to re-aggravate shit, you know, looking towards the future. But this is a fucking series, fellas. This is a series now. You know,
welcoming what in
do defensively without Bam Adebayo, our best fucking player. It's
Christian, you gotta change your background. No LeBron.
Yeah, no LeBron. That's a Duncan Robinson big.
Yeah, you can't see Tyler's face.
Yeah. Okay, so on the bottom left, we're welcoming in our statistician and professional photoshopper, Christian Hernandez.
Oh my goodness. Were you guys prepared for one of the greatest finals performances of all time tonight?
No, I was not. I knew Jimmy would come out firing. I didn't expect what he did today. I was not prepared for that. I didn't think he could do it against, I mean, let's also remember that LeBron fucking James is defending him on almost every play. You know what I mean? It's not, you
Won't
know,
he?
A lot. I mean, they were really forcing the Caruso and KCP switch
they switched a lot.
LeBron didn't fight through any of those fucking screens, man. He wanted no part of Jimothy fucking buckets.
70% from the field, 14 of 20, 40 points, 11 rebounds, 13 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and a plus 20. I am happy, elated, upset at all the people that have doubted this group, and specifically Jimmy Butler. I also want to talk about the game plan, what Eric Spoelstra did, the hedging on the pick and roll. Frankie, the way that Duncan was showing on those pick and rolls defensively, so much better than game one and game two. I mean, they were hedging and showing with purpose. They were recovering. So, you know, Duncan was not able to get hunted as much. Jimmy was able to stay on LeBron as much as possible, and Jimmy played almost the whole damn game. The helping was outrageous. When Anthony Davis caught the ball, it was Andre and Jimmy, and then they would rotate out. There was a fucking tornado of defense, of turnovers, of forcing, of poking loose balls, of fighting. I thought what they did defensively, the game plan, was just out of this world.
Yeah, they attacked Anthony Davis early and often, kept them in foul trouble the whole game, kept him out of rhythm. He only took one shot in the fourth quarter, which shows a great defensive effort to front the post. They mixed up the coverages too. They were fronting the post. They were sending the double early and often to force the reversal. And they were living with the results. They were forcing the role players to beat them. Markieff had a good shooting game. But if that's your best bet offensively, you know, you take that. You take that 10 times out of 10 over Anthony Davis getting in rhythm and shoot and dominating the paint and mid-range area. Kelly Olynyk outscored Anthony Davis.
Let's go, Kelly Olynyk! Maple Wait, Dick having, out here outscoring the prodigy, the next Wilt Chamberlain, the next Tim Duncan. Well, what happened?
The best teammate LeBron's ever had. Huh?
The best teammate LeBron James has ever had. Kelly Olynyk outscored that guy. Maple Dick outscored that guy. Maple Dick was awesome today, except for that last possession where he just totally got lost and LeBron got a dunk. But other than that, he was great.
Guys, guess what?
Down the stretch in the fourth, though. That was fucking sick.
Those threes.
Guess what's up, Brian? Robinson's plus minus was tonight?
69.
That would have been nice.
Because he can't the fuck.
Plus 27.
And it shows, like, honestly, like, I think people, I saw a lot of people on Twitter, like, shit talking Duncan Robinson. And for you to say that about a guy that is instrumental to the other team's defensive game plan, like, the Lakers have done a really good job of trying to take Duncan away, but all the action off ball away from that has really helped Miami get a lot of layups. Because if Duncan's coming off a handoff or he's coming off a screen, or and Jeff was really good talking about the pistol action on the broadcast that Miami runs very often with Tyler and Duncan, that occupies a lot of their defenders. And what they do is Jimmy's holding the ball opposite side of that, and they're running that action that gives Miami a lot of time to throw those nice passes inside. If Kelly slips off those screens up top, if Jay Crowder like kind of shakes and loose, like, by the way, Jay Crowder, dude, what a, after a no show the last four games against the Celtics, it's not even the 3-point shooting. It's the cutting in the paint. It's the getting layups. He's being a finisher.
Defensively,
just competing, doing everything. Andre as well. I mean, just total team effort. And Alex, the Heat have not shot their best game yet.
Still have not shot their best game, but that's what this team does, man. Everybody counted them out. And that's when this team just shows up. Like, this was, you mentioned it at the top, this was one of the best finals performances in franchise history. And what a fucking relief it is to have Jimmy, man. Like, that's all I could say. What a relief it is to have Jimmy. And now we're going to sprinkle in some Bam, hopefully, in game four. Does that seem likely? Sprinkle in a little Bam on top of this defensive effort?
Possible.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
He was telling LeBron, he was in LeBron's face after that jumper late in the fourth. You're in trouble. He was telling him, you're in trouble. LeBron left the court before the game was over.
Out of here. Jimmy Butler became a Heat lifer in my eyes the second he told LeBron in his face after he hit a jumper, you're in trouble. Yep. I mean, Pat Riley you can't ask for more if you're Pat. I mean, that's it. That's as good as it gets.
Pat's face is full of white right now. Just full of fucking white right now. Because that was culture. That entire game was culture, was it not? Really? Like, that was the epitome of what we all fucking talk about. That and right there.
The Our thing
lineup was full of white too.
Yeah, very true.
The thing about them as well is they're gonna survive until game five at least. And between Tuesday and Friday, there's a nice big break there to get some guys healthy. And if you I'm not saying that they're going to steal game four, but if you steal game four and then on Friday you get at least Bam back, because I think wanting Goran to come back is a little unrealistic. That injury is really hard.
I think you get Bam back next game.
Yeah. That's a lot of pain. If they can get Bam back, if this whole week off you get Bam back, we're talking about a different series.
Bam at full strength, right? Like, just defensively, what he can do, just being in the game, even if offensively he's limited. That's a huge plus for this team. A huge, obviously. You can't even put into words how big that's going to be.
I don't think we should count Goran, and I think fans should probably move off that.
Goran might not come back at all.
I know he wants to,
but that injury is really hard to come back. And if he does, it's not going to be as effective. But I do believe Bam, after this win, will probably give it a go next game. He was close to coming back today from what it looked like.
So the thing with Goran is they can kind of, what Goran gives you is offense, right? And they've pretty much been able to solve the Lakers defense after that game one atrocity, that massacre. They were able to solve the Lakers defense. I mean, they put up a 125 offensive rating in game two. Christian, I don't know if you could check what they put up tonight, but that felt in the range of 125 or at least high 110s, right? So they're scoring on this elite staunch defense. They figured that part out. The issue with them is going to be defensively. And even if Bam can't give you 30 minutes, you know, if he can play some of those Myers minutes, if he could give Kelly a little bit of a breather, he could put a body on AD, he could help with the help rotations. I mean, the switching that he gives you on LeBron James is going to be huge, because you know, asking Jimmy to do all this for 48 minutes for the next five, six games, whatever, it's just not fair to him. I mean, like, you know, he's only human. I mean, that was Herculean what he did today. So Bam coming back alleviates some of the playmaking as well. I mean, because the offense ran through Jimmy, and when Jimmy sat, you saw it went off the rails real quick. I mean, every time that guy went to the bench, I mean, it was just, and I can't wait for tomorrow to have the on-off numbers, because I think that's going to be startling.
Listen, Jimmy will do whatever he's asked to do in this series minutes-wise.
And more, by the way.
More. And, you know, because let's not forget that, I mean, Thibodeau just ran him into the fucking ground twice.
Yep. But twice. You know what the difference between this and a Tom Thibodeau team is?
Now we're fucking playing for the finals. Like, exactly. He is built for
a better. Wait. To answer G's question, we have a better coach.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
I was setting up Brass for the in the finals joke. Brian thundered in with that.
You mentioned it really quickly. You mentioned Myers-Leonard and Solomon Hill. I know Solomon Hill was very limited, right? But Myers-Leonard was what? Plus, I have it right here. Plus 13 tonight. Like, that guy, we've all been shitting on him hard, and like just a gutsy performance from that guy, man. Like, doesn't stop talking on the sideline, doesn't stop just being inspirational on the sideline, and bro, he comes out. I know he's not a lifer. Like, we won't consider him a lifer, but I love that guy, man. Like, he showed tonight. He has culture flowing through his veins as well.
I was incredibly wrong about him. I am sorry, Myers-Leonard. I didn't think that he could give them anything. I thought that they just had to play Kelly and maybe even Andre at the five. No, I have to. Listen, I'm not a guy. I already apologized to Alex Caruso. I've done a lot of apologies on this podcast last couple of days.
Have to do that one.
I take that one back. Never mind. Alex Caruso, apology, take it back. I have to apologize to Tim_NBA. He's a good guy. I have to apologize to a lot of people, but I got to apologize to Myers. I mean, he did really good. I think we have to be ready for the Lakers double teaming Jimmy Butler next game. I think that they're going to be okay with another guy beating them if he's going to continue this kind of performance. So I think what the Lakers can do is kind of, you know, similar to what, I don't think that they'll put out the box in one like Nick Nurse does, you know, against Steph Curry, but it's a possibility that they're going to do something like that to try to take Jimmy out of the game. There's a lot that they can do, and Miami's offense is really Jimmy or bust. And it's just incredible. I mean, what that guy's doing is just Herculean. I mean, it's LeBron James-esque, it's Jordan-esque, it's Dwayne Wade-esque.
Can I give you a little bit of perspective? Just please. Some of the things that I've looked up from just really throwing Jimmy's stat line into the stat head, just like blender of Game Finder. I've already found that Jimmy is the first player since Jerry West in 1969 to put up 40, 12, and 10 in an NBA Finals game. And that's 40 points, 12 assists, 10 rebounds. Oh. He joins LeBron as the only other player in NBA Finals history to hit 30 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. And Jimmy scored more points tonight than LeBron did when he did it. And Jimmy joined Shaquille O'Neal and George Mikan as the only players to score 40 points in an NBA Finals game on 20 or fewer field goal attempts.
Jimmy didn't even hit a three.
Did he? I don't even think he attempted a three.
I don't think so either. He did that all from the inside.
Yeah.
He did not attempt a three.
Are you implying that we need to make Jimmy the NBA logo now?
I mean, I'm saying that this game needs to be remembered regardless of whatever happens in this series.
Because, an all-time game.
I mean, hitting higher stratospheres than you can argue that LeBron has ever hit in the finals, which is wild.
That's guts.
It's just what they've done has been incredible, what he's done. I mean, as I'm watching it, there was a point in the game when I forgot who fouled him, but he gets to the free throw line and Mike Breen's like, and more free throws for Jimmy Butler. And it really legitimately felt like Dwayne Wade. What you laughing at, Brian? I didn't
even find this clip, but apparently someone's commenting in their chat, Shaq 10-12, saying Duncan in his post-game interview tonight said, "We burned the boats."
Let's go!
Fucking go, Duncan.
Go, pure guns. The boats are gone.
Well, we got the
boats. They're in trouble.
Yeah, so
that's the episode name.
Now.
Yeah. Solomon Hill knows that. Solomon Hill knows that. Oh my God, I wish I could have, because Jimmy's never heard the burn the boat story. So I wish I was there to see them telling Jimmy about the burning of the boats. Oh my God, this team is officially Heat lore. I mean, now they know the burning of the boats.
Guys, someone's asking you to explain the burning boat story, please.
Oh, I love explaining the burning of the boat story. So Pat Riley and Spo love telling the story of these Spanish conquistadors that came to a land and they were fighting the native people. We can talk about all the way that's problematic in a lot of ways, but we're focusing on the fun right now. And when the colonizers got there, they were overmatched by the native people. And then the commander of the conquistadors said, "We're burning all the boats. We're burning them." And the people said, "Well, why are we burning our boats?" And he's like, "Because we fight or we die." And this team fought.
And the funny thing, the best part about the funniest thing about that story is that's where the story like ends. And everyone just goes out of the room fucking screaming, "Yeah, burn the boat! Fuck yeah, burn!" But then really the true end of that story is they all died.
We got sound.
I have sound, I guess. I'm gonna play the sound of Duncan Robinson saying he's gonna burn.
Oh no, boats. Can we give it to Brass so we can all hear it?
Okay, Brass, you get it. I'll shoot you a DM so Brass can play it so we can all share in the fun. All right. But yeah, they're officially
luggage. Yeah. You know, that's another story too. Do you remember that story of how Pat told him, "Hey, this specific
June 20th.
Game 6 would be the first time that they would win the championship, and they told him not to pack any clothes for that trip.
One shirt, one tie.
So that specific game for this series would actually be October 11th if they win their next, if they win four straight. Not saying they will, but
here's
October 11th is the first time that he could win a championship.
Here's that Duncan clip. And it's not playing. Excellent by me.
Excellent producing.
We're like the Laker offense. We're broken. We're discombobulated.
Play a G.
You want me to play it?
It's not playing on my summer.
I got it. I got you. All right, play it now.
Ryan, sabotage me.
We use the same burn the boats. We had to burn the boats for this one. All hands on deck, whatever it took.
Excellent sound, Duncan. Just said burn the boats, all hands on deck. We love to see it. He said it with a straight face. He knows. Listen, Duncan has now been acclimated to Heat culture. Honestly, like, I'm not even joking. And I said this in our group chat. Like, I think Jimmy Butler may have passed Chris Bosh as my second favorite Heat player.
Not a hot take.
I know. And I love Chris Bosh, and I love Alonzo Mourning, and I love Udonis Haslem. I don't want to, like, don't get, and I love Quentin Richardson. But inexplicably,
played 1 year for us.
Inexplicably, one of my all-time favorite Heat players, Quentin Richardson.
Rich, baby.
Yeah, Q-Rich.
If you went to a lab and you compiled all the information the entire time that Pat Riley showed up to the Miami Heat franchise, and you took every saying and every stat and every, and you just threw it and you made a fucking cyborg, that's Jimmy Butler.
Well, the Heat actually say that, right? Like Brian Windhorst, I know we hate Windy, but he told the Hawk and Crowder show that he heard inside the Heat's organization while covering them one night that they describe Pat Riley and the front office describes Jimmy Butler as if Dwayne Wade and Udonis Haslem made a baby. And that is Jimmy Butler. Like that's how the Heat describe Jimmy Butler themselves. So you're not off, Brass. Like you are not off at all.
The most cultured baby alive. I want to ask you, at what point did it dawn on you that they were going to win this game? Because I'm not sure that it happened up until they took the 24-second violation that it just kind of hit me like, holy shit, like they did it.
I knew that the Lakers at any moment could strike.
When LeBron missed the three, actually.
For me, it was when they finally called LeBron for travels. That's what anyway had a chance.
Who travels? Yo, it's been like 15 years in the league and they never call it. And I was like, oh my God.
They called him for two tonight, didn't they?
I know, they did it. I can't believe it.
There's direct correlation to how much LeBron flails his arms after not getting a foul call and my excitement of winning a game. Like, it fucking shoots up. So yeah, I mean, I really thought that I was really impressed by that steal by Kelly in the fourth.
Oh, that was just
That was kind of like holy shit. Like, okay, here we go. Like
better than the LeBron chase down block, by the way. That's a better play than the LeBron chase down block. Play. Better defensive play.
But not important. Better than the BAM block on Jason
no.
Tatum.
No.
Also better than the non-block on LeBron.
Oh my God. You know, Crab in the Crab's Not Peddler in the chat makes up a good point. You know, we were saying, you know, if they win this game, you know, that Jimmy Butler pregame interview is gonna go down in Heat lore.
Oh, I missed it. What happened there?
Oh, he was just like, nah, we got this. Like, he was giddy. He was smiling. He was chill as fuck. I was like, yo, Jimmy, should we be like a little more concerned? You know what I mean? Like, that's it's a
yeah, did the Heat. Did the Heat win every quarter?
Yes, they'd won every quarter. So if you actually go back to the third quarter of game two, they've won or tied every single quarter since the second half of game two. Because they tied the fourth quarter of game two. I think it was like they scored 24 points.
They won by 3 points in game two, the third quarter.
Yeah, they won by three points. They tied
the fourth quarter in game two.
Also, yeah, when is the last time that we lost a fourth quarter?
I don't think they've lost a fourth quarter the entire playoff.
You mentioned it last game. They still haven't lost a fourth quarter.
They have the Miami Heat have not been outscored in a fourth quarter.
Yeah. So admittedly, when we were up going into the fourth, I felt a little more calmer than I would in most cases, because this is just the way this team is built defensively, just locking shit down. I mean, that the fourth quarter is where they shine. So if they could put three quarters together, I feel really good. We're like the anti 2011 LeBron in the fucking fourth. Like,
it's such a credit to the coaching staff and the game plan, though, because you would think, like, if you take anybody who knows basketball, you take a lineup with Jimmy and Jay as the only two above average defenders, you mixed it in with Hero, Duncan, and Kelly, you think they're going to get smoked. But it's just planning on where to attack them offensively, using their defense, using the help, attacking, making the guys they want to shoot the ball shoot it by their rotations and aggressive help consistently. They took Anthony Davis out of the game, and he was a monster. You do that without Bam. You do that with Kelly as your big. Yeah, that's fucking incredible job by Spo and the coaching staff.
Absolutely, and I'm disappointed in the coverage. I mean, full stop. But particularly because they had a severe lack of shots of Frank Vogel on the sideline losing his fucking mind because
you mean Joe Gatto of Impractical Jokers, who's somehow the Lakers head coach. So shout out to Ryan Cortez, Parakeet Cortez in the chat sent us this from Chris Miles of NBA TV reported. Jimmy Butler just said that LeBron told the Heat they were in trouble in the first half, and he was just repeating what LeBron said to him. Jimmy Butler's my second favorite Heat player ever. That's it. I'm here. I've arrived. The fuck train has left the station, guys. I'm here.
I mean, we can't forget that Eric Spoelstra said to Jimmy Butler, you know, I tell him every day that he's the greatest signing in Heat history.
Chef Truly reports.
We at it again.
Chef Truly reports. Yo, I loved in the broadcast how Jimmy said that he modeled his game after Luol Deng. I was just like, oh, I yelled Uncle Lou. I was so happy.
The second best Heat signing of all time.
Yeah, the second. Yo, we signed a lot of Chicago Bull legends.
Here's another clip we can play on there. It's
what you
short,
got?
Short 3 second clip from Spo in his post game interview.
You sent it to me?
It's in the chat in our Solomon Hill fan club.
I got it. Fuck LeBron.
I got it.
That would be glorious.
Yanni, how much did you scream when Solomon Hill hit that three?
Oh my God. So I got up and I yelled. I was like, and I started clapping. My mom goes, what's wrong with you? I go, my friend just hit a three.
He's in never
the NBA finals.
Bedroom ever.
Yeah, I was so happy. I was like, that's my friend. My friend just did that. Did you see? That's a big shot. I told him the other day, I spoke to my friend and I told him, Solomon, you're a good shooter. You should take those. And I was like, my friend Solomon Hill listened to me and took that shot.
Honestly, I kind of believe it.
I know. I legit said that. I legit told my mother that. I was like, that's my friend. And that's his other.
Because he took one in the last game, too. And I was like, you know what? He's being a little more aggressive. Well, I'm wondering what happened.
Look at that. The Heat beat Bump. The Miami Heat beat Bump. All right, so here I got some Spo audio about Jimmy Butler. Okay, so Spo didn't curse. He just says Jimmy effing Butler. I thought he was going to say Jimmy fucking Butler. But
how else do you say it, though?
gotta go. Oh, gotta, oh man, I'm on cloud nine. I mean, like what they, like, man, this is the finals. You know what I mean? Like this is,
he gets this, a statue. Like, by
we've
the way.
Talked a lot about if you just win in the conference finals, you know, you're a cute team like Portland last year. You know what I mean? Like you're a cute team like Denver, right? Oh, really, real good job. Good effort. I really, you know, that's really great what you did. Hope you could put it together. What they did today is like, that shit gets remembered, you know, for eons. Like you're going to remember, man, Jimmy Butler did that in the finals. Like Jimmy Butler put the fucking team on his back and went at the King and Anthony Davis and went shot for shot, did everything. And that's just what you remember. Like that stuff is not, you know, a conference finals game three against, you know, the Celtics or the Rockets or whatever. You know what I mean? Like this matters.
Playoff peep could never.
Dude, I'm so upset that people had the gall to compare them. Not the same.
Don't say people. We know who we're all referring
to. He will not be named on this podcast. We will not give this individual publicity. If you want, he Twitter's dragging him. Shout out. Go, Alex.
No, I was going to say, all the storylines, especially coming into game three, were LeBron, AD, easily the two best players in the series, and then there's a gap between the next best player, and it's Jimmy Butler. And essentially a closed-out game, right? Like, the Lakers win this, it's over, yeah. Right? So essentially, yeah. This is a closeout game, and Jimmy outplayed them, and not just outplayed them, but he shat on them. He really did. Like, he went out there, and he shat on the Lakers. Like,
yeah,
that can't be stressed enough.
The coverage of this fucking series has pissed me so much.
Oh, me too.
Pissed me off.
Me too.
So fucking much. Listen, not to mention enough that Bam and Goran are obviously hurt and been hurt since like the first half of game one. But this fucking, the audacity that the Lakers went on a big run when they got hurt. They did not win either game by 20 fucking points. They didn't blow out this fucking ragtag group of G League guys. They fucking barely won by 10 both games. If either of those games, the Heat shots are falling consistently. It's a closer game that he could steal. But this fucking coverage, man. Oh, it's over. Oh, it reminds me of that bullshit with the Celtics. It's just a fucking anti-Heat propaganda.
We finally got a commercial promoting a game. I saw that. After game one, the promotion was all AD and LeBron. But finally, you get a damn promotion for ESPN and ABC. Like, Jesus Christ.
After this 11-point win, I just want to give double middle fingers to anybody who said that it wasn't impressive that the Heat actually got it to 10 the last game. Honestly.
Double middle fingers to anyone who, double middle fingers like, to anybody...
The only
said that the Heat shouldn't be in the finals.
The only reason it was close is because the Lakers took their foot off the gas.
Listen, chat's right. We have to blame Ethan Skolnick for game one and game two. Ethan Skolnick of Five on the Floor and Five Reasons Sports was out there reporting. It's all his fault. Direct all your hatred over there. Ethan is out of the bubble. EP would never. Listen, if we were hindering a game, we leave. That's just the truth.
Yeah, I live in Orlando. Finals. I'm not covering it because I know that there's a curse.
What are you saying, Chris?
I'm saying I get wanting to be at the finals. Like, shit, I should have been at the finals tonight. But, you know, Ethan took one for the team. Good man.
Listen, and that's all. We all have to do our part. We've talked about this a lot on Heat Beat. We all have to do our part. We're all, you know, Miami's not selfish. We all have to look out for each other, look out for the team, look out for everything. I want to talk a little bit about how the Heat can kind of improve in the margins, because I do think the shooting has to get a little better for them. They shot 35% and won the game. I don't think that's good enough. What you got, Chris?
Just real quick, Mark J. Spears says that via Elias Sports Bureau, Jimmy Butler is the first player to ever outscore, out-rebound, and out-assist LeBron James in a finals game, including LeBron's teammates.
Let's go, baby!
Let's fucking go, baby.
I mean, he was outplayed in a way. I mean, even in those Warriors series, I mean, he was the best player on the floor. I mean, just because KD and Steph were on the other side, he was all, and then that first finals where they went six without Kyrie and Kevin Love, I mean, he was doing what Jimmy's doing, and it was clear that he was the best player on the floor. And then all those other series, I mean, it was Herculean from him, but, you know, the Warriors just completely out-talented. I mean, Jimmy Butler was 100. I mean, the last time I feel like LeBron wasn't the best player in a finals game was in 2011 when Dwayne Wade was carrying his ass when he forgot how to play basketball. Which also, I hear a lot of people, like Zach Lowe talked about this a little bit on his podcast with Windhorse and Kendrick Perkins. The stats on that series are also very deceiving for Dwayne because he got hurt in like game four, right? So Brian Cardinal hip checks Dwayne Wade and he was all fucked up the rest of that series. He was not the same. Dwayne was averaging north of 30 points with like a 37 PER or something. It was like something crazy. I mean, the shooting percentages were through the roof before he got hurt. So like, I think when people reevaluate what 2011 was, you have to remember that he was hurt halfway through that series from a dirty play. And those numbers, whilst it's still like 27 points on like almost 60 true shooting, right? It was still really good. But, you know, let's not forget that would have been even better. He was awesome.
I love Jimmy, man. Post-game quote from Jimmy on not backing down to LeBron James. Quote, I feel like LeBron has gotten the best of me way too many times.
He's not scared. None of these guys are scared. You know what I mean? Like, and, you know, I'm not saying they're going to win the series. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying that these guys are not scared. Even after they got fucking shellacked in game one, this team of young players, right? This is not a wily veteran team outside of a couple guys, right? It's a lot of, they're depending on Kendrick Nunn and Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson and a lot of young players on this team that they're counting on.
Yeah.
And they came out in game two and they absolutely shredded the Laker defense, absolutely shredded. And we're not talking about that because the defensive effort just was not there. The zone was not there. And by the way, let's talk about the zone a little bit, Frankie. Heat totally changed the zone. They inverted it. They put their wings in the back. They had their guards up front more. They even went to a 3-2 zone at some point in the game. They stopped with the 2-3 kind of. I mean, they weren't forcing turnovers that way, which is a big benefit of having your wings up top. Absolutely did not get crushed rebounding as a result. And I know they went man a lot as well with Duncan hedging those pick and rolls with LeBron, but I thought that the change to the zone is like a really under-talked about thing that they did tonight.
Yeah, they did a good job utilizing some matchup zone principles towards the end of the shot clock to make sure there were no easy shots on the breakdowns. When you go 3-2, you're weaker inside, and a couple times they pay, but that's that's basketball. You're not going to play perfect defense all the time. They did a much better job pinching at the top, avoiding the easy penetration on the swings. And when they're weaker on the corners, you have the Lakers always have like Markieff Morris in the corner, Kyle Kuzma in the corner. You want to force the ball to those guys to make you attack a defense. Even if it's bent, I'd rather have them attacking over LeBron, Rondo, AD 10 times out of 10. You want to make sure that your spacing is good and you're forcing the Lakers to play uncomfortable because they haven't seen those looks consistently. And all the constant switching of defense, you keep confusing them early on by giving them different looks over and over again, takes them out of their rhythm. They have to focus on breaking that, finding the weak spot instead of going, hey, this is our bread and butter play against man. This is our bread and butter play. They don't have bread and butter plays against the 3-2 to start it off. So it was a great job by Spo and the staff.
Chris, chat's asking, can you pull the number of possessions that they played zone tonight? I know Synergy might be able to, you could make, might be able to pull that.
Synergy, it was only three.
Nah, I felt like more than that. Because Synergy
felt like it was more than that. Yeah.
Synergy's an algorithm, so when they'll do that by hand, we'll get the real numbers. But if that, I mean, I felt it was more than that. Wow, that's actually really surprising.
Did you guys see Embiid's tweet tonight?
Oh, I love Embiid tweets. What's he saying?
Inspiring.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Matt, could you believe?
I love it.
Put yourself in the position of a Philadelphia 76ers fan and executive. A Minnesota Timberwolves fan and executive, a Chicago Bulls fan and executive, and you're watching tonight, and you're seeing what this motherfucker's doing.
So true.
How do you think, I mean, like, how are you feeling?
Do you know how hard that
realization? How is Carl Anthony Towns is feeling?
I mean, they're letting go of the rope. They have to be.
Christian, what'd you say?
I mean, that's got to be such a hard realization to realize you were wrong.
Dead fucking
like
wrong.
This guy was talking shit about everybody around because they didn't have the commitment that he did. And look what happened. He wasn't the problem. Your culture was the problem.
You know, I follow a lot of fans from different fan bases. And I follow Timberwolves fans, Philly fans, Chicago fans. They were all tweeting the same shit. all every single one of them. I love Jimmy Butler. I hate my fucking team. My eternal dread for the organization, not wanting to build around Jimmy Butler. And Jimmy Butler's fucking amazing. That's all of them were tweeting that. Fucking three different fan bases.
I don't know anybody in any of those fan bases that was like really, that was anti-Jimmy at any.
No, he's awesome. How could you be anti-Jimmy? Look at him. I love what Brian Cortez tweeted out. I'm still laughing at the pillar of strength and a physical marvel, 6'9", reportedly, 280 pound LeBron James pleading with the ref. He elbowed me like he was at an Apple store, and Jimmy just calmly sinking two free throws. We fight. Outstanding. That might be the moment of the game for me. No, it's probably you're in trouble. It's probably you're in trouble.
They are in trouble.
If the Heat win this series, you're in trouble becomes like, Heat Twitter makes shit go. I don't know what we make that, but that is some.
After this, LeBron just purely focuses on his presidential run.
LeBron getting any sleep tonight? Because he hasn't gotten sleep the last two wins.
Is that what he says?
Yeah, he was tweeting late last night.
Are you sure he just wasn't following a certain individual's health that we're all kind of waiting on?
So much for that Zero Dark 30.
It's a bubble. It's never real. Did you guys hear? So I thought, I forgot who said this. I think it was Kendrick Perkins. And he was like, you know, I've talked to a lot of people. And when the Lakers win this, you know, it's going to be the hardest championship ever won. That some people were saying that it should count as two championships.
What?
So, all right, Steve, not only are they like trying to like, act, like they're just avoiding the Astra conversation that they would have done for the Heat.
One for Kobe, right? That's what.
Oh, we haven't even gotten to that yet. But yeah, like they're just saying, no, this has to be worth two. The bubble was so hard that it should be like an opposite asterisk. Whatever the opposite of an asterisk is, that's what the bubble championship should be. It's just insane. It's fucking maddening to me. And by the way, the way people were talking about that Anthony Davis game two, I want them to have that same fucking energy for Jimmy Butler tomorrow. That's what I want. I want all these talking heads to have the same damn energy for Jimmy Butler like they did for Anthony Davis.
This is way more impressive than that. I mean, Anthony Davis was awesome in game two. Don't get
me
wrong.
Incredible.
Awesome. But he was just dunking left and right. Yeah, no shit. That man grew 8 inches in a fucking year. Of course he could dunk a basketball. But like the shots that Jimmy was making and the defensive plays he was making tonight, I mean, that dude was all over your fucking face.
And he contributed like another, like what, 20, whatever, 11 times how many points that he gave on his assists.
Oh, yeah. How many points was he responsible for tonight?
Oh my God! With the 13 assists, I mean that must be
a lot of those. Yeah, he had some crazy fucking passes to Kelly. He was insane today.
Oh, that little slip that Kelly had, that he rifled that fucking pass. That was like the Russell Wilson touchdown pass today. Jesus Christ!
AD did it over Jay Crowder and Kelly Olynyk. Jimmy did it over LeBron. Enough said.
What you got, Christian? You're laughing.
It's not going to express correctly in this medium, but it's like, you know, those tweets that when they find like a random picture and it has a set of numbers that is like 8 and 24, and then, you know, they do a hashtag Mamba mentality. It was basically one just making fun of that.
Oh, okay. I'm curious to see how tomorrow everything's going to be. If everyone's just going to say, whatever, this is how Lakers in five looks like, right? Who knows? Which was gonna
you can't do that to us. That's what we do.
Yeah, that's our thing. Our like bit. You can't that's steal that. That's our thing.
That bullshit. Lakers are the underdogs. Shit is the Lakers story.
Oh, the we believe Lakers. God, that shit's so annoying, dude. Listen, I gotta be honest with you. I feel kind of validated on my shit about KCP and all these people because, like,
don't start. This got us. You know, a 2-0-2 hole.
Right? Never mind. I apologize. Those guys are good.
Shooters. Awesome shooters. They legit keep shooting it. Man, they're so fucking great.
They're so great. They should shoot more.
They should
continue to set records for 3-point attempts in the finals. They're really good. The thing that I will say that the Lakers do really well is, you know, they've made Duncan's life hell. And I do. So Duncan was a team high plus 27 today. Obviously struggled shooting the ball, even on his open looks. Dude's incredibly rushed. I mean, when he's doing those handoffs, they're dropping the big and stepping him up. And then the guard is attached to his hip. Caruso, KCP, Rondo, these guys are doing a really good job of going over. Talked about this a bunch, but that's really taken him out of his game. And it's frazzled him, and he's just not been the same guy, right? So I look to hopefully get him going. So what Miami did at times was they would run Duncan off a screen to then do the handoff. So he would go off a screen to then get into the handoff, kind of give him that separation he needs. So that little extra space is all he needs, especially with these smaller defenders. I want to see a little bit more of that, because in reality, I don't have his spot up shooting numbers, but I just don't feel like that's where he gets the bulk of his threes. I feel like a lot of it's just off handoffs and up top. He's not really a just wait for the ball kind of shooter. And I think if you can kind of get him going like that, that's going to go a long way. It's just, you know, Alex, it's just tough because I don't know if you can afford, you know, a couple empty possessions at the beginning of a game trying to get him going.
Ooh, I got a great stat, guys. This might be the best stat we have all show.
Let's go. It better be good.
Had a lot of good ones, so better be.
Butler is the first player ever to outscore, out-rebound, and out-assist LeBron James in the finals game.
Christian, Brian, I already said this.
Christian literally already said that.
God damn, dude.
This was a Stugatzian moment for you. Wow.
God damn,
you're the producer.
What the hell, man?
Man, oh.
I get it, though. He's like Coach Tony's looking at them stats. I don't blame you, bro.
What stats are you looking at?
I don't blame you.
Oh, man.
I'm looking at
Wow, Brian, hold on. Brian, you've had a rough week on the podcast.
Next man up.
Brian, you're Duncan Robinson for us. High usage, three. But
I
Jesus.
I had a wide open three and I missed.
Oh my God. You've had a couple. You fumbled a few.
To be fair, that's a stat worth rereading because I want to inject that into my fucking veins.
I want that Brian, tattooed on my face.
Yeah. Put that on a fucking t-shirt. That would sell on a t-shirt.
The delivery of that. He was trying to hype it up too.
A quick aside, did you guys notice that Nekias Duncan was like live tweeting a television show in the middle of the finals? Our statistician and pun master. I want to call him out for that. Watch the finals, dude. Stop with this.
Maybe he shouldn't watch anymore.
Maybe he should watch more shows. Maybe that should be the thing. I just thought that was funny. I was like, the finals are going on. And you're like the premier Heat analyst.
Yeah, they lost game. You know, the Heat lost game one, and Nekias was like, "Oh, I was very wrong about this series." So,
yeah,
yeah, it's on Heat saying Tyler Herro is 4 points away from having the most points ever scored by a rookie in the playoffs.
Wow,
that's a good stat. See, if you had said that, we would have been like, "All right, Brian, let's go." Mm-hmm.
Did someone say playoffs? NBA and NHL are playing for gold, and our partners Bet Online have you covered. Get in on all the action, including a new NBA bracket contest with plenty of chances to win. MLB season is pushing into fall, and there's no shortage of ways to bet with hundreds of odds, futures, and props. So take advantage of the return of sports. And remember, the casino never closes. Check it out all day, all night. Go to betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your welcome bonus. That's betonline.ag, promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online sportbook experts. You've counted on restaurants all your life. Now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings the food that you've been craving right to your door. Ordering is really easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and the food will be safely delivered outside your door with a new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, the Cheesecake Factory, anything. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery as well. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local spot, and your food is on the way. Right now, our listeners get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order on $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and use promo code BLUEWIRE. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you use the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code BLUEWIRE. Don't forget the code BLUEWIRE, all one word, for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
Good work.
I can't really verify that.
I am so impressed with Tyler's short-term memory loss, where he could be chucking up just garbage, and then all of a sudden, boop, nothing. Just he just It's wet as fuck after that. It doesn't matter. That kid is so good, man. He doesn't give a shit.
His face at the end.
Oh, the grin.
And oh, the little, that's a moment shirt right there. That's a moment shirt.
No, it's not. Grin. It's not a moment. Is that a moment shirt?
It is. The Heat already posted it. That's getting put on a shirt, and I'm buying it. Throwing my money. I don't give a fuck.
Jimmy needs like a moment shirt.
Oh, Jimmy needs a you're in trouble shirt.
Yes.
Oh yeah, we need a you're in trouble shirt. Like for sure.
Did you guys hear that? Apparently, Bron told him that he's in trouble.
Yeah.
In the first quarter.
Brian, I already said that. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Oh my god,
Brian, are you listening? Are you like participating in what we're doing here today?
This is now.
Brian, this is a really big moment, Brian, and I feel like you're on. This
is
a bit.
Oh, I don't know, Brian. This is a third quarter.
Brian's having a just. Brian looks like Heat in game one. After Bama Dragic set.
That's a bit.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can't even believe you anymore. Like every time Brian fucks up, he's gonna say, no, it's the bit, it's the bit. Brian, clearly not paying attention to anything we're doing, our producer. Man, chat saying that Duncan played 39 minutes. Holy shit. That's a lot. I didn't even know.
What else were they gonna put out there? Because Nen already had 5 fouls.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
Yo, I felt bad for Kendrick. I didn't think some of those were fouls, and like I don't give Kendrick the benefit of the doubt a lot.
That foul on the screen to that Hero hit the three. That was such bullshit.
Oh yeah, that was just bad. I mean, Caruso can't be getting these superstar calls. I mean, come on.
Does Iguodala just almost being unplayable in the series make any sense to any of you? Because I would have sworn if the Heat were gonna take one, it would have been Iggy playing big minutes, covering LeBron. Like, I would have put money on that.
That touch pass.
That pass was worth the price of admission. That was one of the craziest passes I've ever seen.
With one of the luckiest bounces I've ever seen as well, by the way.
Yeah.
That's very true.
But man, you know, Alex, like, you're not wrong, but like, I think that when I watch Andre, I think it's just, they need to buy minutes because, you know, Jimmy's usually sitting. I don't think he's played a lot with Jimmy.
Oh, I trust Iggy, by the way. Like, I'm not trying to shit on him. I was just saying, like, had we talked last night and we would have said, yeah, the Heat are going to take one tomorrow, I just would have bet Iggy would have been, you know, a pretty big factor in the game. And the touch pass beautiful, but he was minus 13, and it just seemed like every time he's in the game, something's going wrong for him.
I thought he did really good. Chat's making a good point. Amass 1992 said he did a good job on AD. That was really good. And that was huge because he would get AD and he would put a body on him. He used his length. Mm-hmm. He has really long arms. And then the help would come. And it kind of buys him a second to come. And if you notice, like with guys like AD and LeBron, particularly LeBron, it's tough because you can't put your weight on them because they're big and strong. So they'll bully you. But if you put your weight on them, those guys have such good spin moves. Giannis is the same that, you know, yeah, once you put the weight, LeBron gets you with the spin, you're kind of done. Andre does a really, really good job of kind of, you know, in good position, hands out, hands up, active hands. And I made fun of like how coaches talk, but like it's true. Like Andre's always hands up, hands in the lane, hands in your face. Like it's just really, it's really helpful. And I think part of it is he's a non-shooter, essentially, or he's played like a non-shooter. He's guarded like one. And Jimmy's also a non-shooter. So when you have these two perimeter guys who can't shoot, it really hurts the offense. And it's just, they just have to be in constant motion at all times. And it's just tough, you know?
Rob Slayer tweeted saying, Jimmy Butler telling LeBron he's in trouble is totally going to backfire, but we have 48 hours to enjoy it.
It is going to backfire.
It kind of reminds me of when Fred VanVleet, you know, when OG Anunoby hit the three and VanVleet's like, oh, you're going to regret that. And you know what? It was cool for a while. And then like, just, you kind of hope everyone forgets.
Can't resist, can you?
I was just giving, that's the most recent example.
I didn't give you shit when you brought up Nick Nurse like 5 minutes
ago. Because he did the box and one. He does the box and one.
Whatever,
man. I mean, that's true. You can't think, I can't think of another coach that uses box and one.
No, he's done it twice. He did it to Kemba too, which I thought was ballsy because the Celtics had other guys. D Wade's tweeting this final, by the way. Excellent. D Wade's like, you know, D Wade's on Twitter now.
How good does Wayne Wade feeling that, like, you know, maybe it might be a series, especially if Ben comes back next game? Because he bet his finals trophy from 2006.
Yeah, that was a bad bet, Dwayne. He bet it after, like, everybody got hurt, right?
Yeah, no, before.
Oh, he bet it before?
Yeah, the night before with Shaq. They were doing, like, some preview show for the finals or whatever.
Shaq's not going to take it from him, right? Shaq shouldn't take it from him.
That's the What's the point of that?
Shaq better not.
What the fuck is Shaq going to do with it? Just leave it in his living room? Yeah, that's the dumbest bet ever.
So D-Wade retweeted Will Manso, right? And he also retweeted Alex Solana. And the only time he's retweeted B was being mad at me.
Wait, what did he tweet from Alex Solana?
When Alex, what was it?
I posted the screenshot with me and my girlfriend where I told her I'm not watching games with her anymore, and she was mad. And I told her no. She called me crazy. I said no, I have the guts. And then the Heat retweeted it and said whatever it takes. And then D Wade tweeted. He said it was like the funniest thing he's seen all day. Which I wear that very proudly, by the way.
I would be in my Twitter.
Alex,
I would
be in my Dwayne Twitter laugh, bio. Bro.
Alex, I know.
How many people Jack, can say that?
Made Dwayne Wade laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I have a T-shirt, but like, I'm not trying to plug fucking Hawk and Crowder shit, but I have a fucking T-shirt. So
hawked off like a goose.com.
Take that tweet and put it on a T-shirt.
Yeah, Solana has the guts. Solana has the guts. T-shirt.
So question: did you watch the game with a girlfriend tonight?
No.
Alex put on Twitter his favorite person to watch a Heat game with.
I'm not like this is not even a bit like me and my girlfriend are in rocky territory right now. Like I tried to take her out on a date last night to like make it up. She's not happy with me and I won't watch these finals games with her. Like
I want you guys to know.
Did you look her right? You got to look her right in the eyes and go, you're in trouble.
Okay. Wait, well, I do. Okay. I got to say though, since we're talking about Dwayne, I wore this all day today and can you not see it?
Yeah, you can see it.
It's my Wade Vice jersey. I wore that all day today. First time in the whole playoffs I wore it. So do I have to wear it every time now?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, you kind of do.
Yes.
It's pretty much the rules, right?
You have to wear it.
Like you start a new thing and it works. You got to keep going with it. I
did laundry
it?
Today, so I got to do laundry before every game.
I don't wash it, right? Gainesville.
Don't wash the jerseys.
You can't take it off. You have to keep wearing it until.
So if you go to work, you have to put it over.
So I keep it under just my work shirt. Right?
You put it over. If you wear a button down, you have to put it over.
Well, obviously.
No, I pull it over.
Like a long sleeve button down, you
well,
put it
right,
over.
Yeah.
That's got to be like your tank top. You put it on
here. I hear that's a really good look.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. It's a good salesman look.
I ordered Sergio's today and I'm committed. Like I'm ordering Sergio's the same thing every game.
I don't like that Sergio's by your
house. But I could do that every day.
I don't like that Sergio's by your house, Alex. I think that's the worst Sergio's.
You're going to trash Sergio's right now?
That one.
Oh, okay. That specific one.
Yeah, that one on Kendall Drive.
The one on 107?
Yeah.
No way. No way.
I'm out on that one. The last time I went, it wasn't good. I got my backup feet, and it wasn't good.
What did you do differently today?
I did laundry. I watched Revolutionary Girl Utena. I watched 3 episodes, and I live tweeted on @subtitledanime. I went to have a bagel, and I went to have Panther Coffee.
Wait, what would you put on your bagel?
I got a spicy Nova from the Bagel Club in Wynwood. It's really, really good.
You're gonna have to get that for next game.
Yeah. So I got that Panther Coffee iced latte with macadamia milk and coconut grove.
Okay. I will say this was the first time I watched any finals games with it was only the first quarter, but I watched with my son and daughter. But actually, they both watch because 7:30 start as opposed to a 9 o'clock start, so they're usually in bed. But I might need to keep
them. You're going to have to keep them up.
Yeah.
We also haven't talked about how the Heat, you know, no series starts until the team wins a road game. And the Heat held serve today.
We are so fucking good at home.
We're not good at home, actually. We are good at home. Yes. It's the home record. It's the road record that we're bad at.
Yeah,
the road. Wow, look at me. I'm saying we. I'm saying we're bad at. I'm in.
Gianni is so back finally. Thank God the Raptors lost.
I was lost for a bit, but I'm here. Like I feel back. I'm clapping. I'm yelling. Jimmy Butler hits. Dude, there's nothing as satisfying in basketball when a guy fucking works the mid range and pulls a trigger on one and it fucking goes down with a guy in his face. There's just no feeling like it. It's just like, because it looks hard, it feels earned, and that shit goes in and you're just like, you can't fucking guard me. It just feels so good. I love it.
Do you have a Miami Heat jersey? Do you own one at all?
I have a Dwayne Wade jersey from 2006. That's the only Heat jersey I have.
Ooh, I would say pull it up, but no, you can't. You gotta wear exactly what you wore today. When's the closest you'll actually get a jersey from this year's Heat team?
I don't wear jerseys. Like, I'm not a jersey guy. Like, I don't have the body.
They sell like jerseys.
Christian's tall, has long arms, is really fit. Like, I don't have the body.
I don't know about really fit, but yeah,
you look good.
Okay, I'm thinking about getting another jersey from
Christian. Christian, you rank in the upper half of like Heat beat attractiveness. Like you're a good looking guy. You know what I mean?
Upper half. Yeah. Nice.
I don't have a jersey body either, but I have a Kenny Hasbrook Patrick Beverley. Like, I just have jerseys. Like, I just buy. I don't wear them.
Patrick Beverley Heat jersey.
Patrick Beverley Heat jersey.
Kenny Hasbrook.
Exactly.
I thought that was a hockey name.
Ever at 23 says his dick is unbelievably erect.
Oh yeah, Kenny Hasbrook. How about that?
I love our chat.
I have the most random Heat jerseys just because like
I may get a Jimmy.
You have to have them.
I may get a Jimmy or I may get a Gogi one.
Oh, I am throwing my entire wallet at the fucking Heat store at the end of the season.
For that Tyler Bowman shirt. Bro, I'm just like, I know that, you know, people talk post-game, particularly about Bam and Tyler, like Bam and Goran, how like upset they were that they couldn't play and how like sad they were and how like the decision came from Spo and he's like, these guys are family. We made this decision for them. Like, it was really hard on all of us. And man, like, imagine if you're those guys on the sideline watching these guys fucking win it so that at some point you can maybe get your way into the series. Like, and I this is going to sound really cliche and really corny, but you know, like, I really feel like they play together and I really feel like they play for each other. And I really legitimately, in my corny sportsiest way to believe, I was like, man, those guys played so that they can give Gogi and Bam a chance out there. And I just want to believe that. He can't take that away from me.
You're definitely right. When Jimmy wins finals MVP and he fucking hands it to Goran, it's going to be like,
oh, brass. Oh my God.
Be unreal, man.
Bro.
That would be something. That would be something. I need to see that.
Oh my God. I'm just, man. Like, I've said a bunch on this pod. We're not.
Tweet that, brass, right now.
We're not a franchise that is like, we're playing not to get swept. Like, we're just happy to be here. Like, we're not, the Miami Heat are not about that. They're about parades and confetti and champagne and championship rings. They're not about happy to be here. They're not about conference title banners, right? They're not about, they're about winning.
They're not about confetti in the fucking conference finals.
They're not. They're not the Knicks throwing confetti after they win one playoff game. They're not the Lakers, right? Like, LeBron did that whole El Cho, right? LeBron hizo todo el show by eso. And it's
they had show. They had show.
Dude, completamente. Like, come on, dude.
Brian, read that fucking stat one more time. Inject it into my
All right, Brian, give it to us. Give right it now. To us.
Come on.
Wait, I need to find it again.
Oh, you suck, dude. You suck.
Damn it, Brian. You had a moment.
How are you not ready for that?